Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Family, and welcome to ULU's Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us Economic Empowerment Program. Tonight, we would like to discuss, with all the elections coming up in less than a week, in fact, we have candidates running for Senate who look like members of the family. Particularly in Georgia, we have a sister who's running for governor. In Florida, we have a brother running for governor. Can we say now that we have made it? We had a president. All right, so are we free? Free at last. That's one of the things we would like to explore, and we'd like to explore that in 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
The sun might have the moon.
Sister Nanana, how are you feeling this evening? I'd like to introduce Sister Nanana, who is a member of Ulu's board, along with myself, Shabaka, calling from Baltimore, who is also a member of the board. Sister, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well. I'm doing well, Brother Shabaka, and as always, pleased to have the opportunity to share some thoughts with the listening audience on Dare to Win. I appreciate having the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
Well, Sister, we're very glad to have you join us. And I know that you have been involved, and probably like a lot of us right now, this is election time, midterm election, as they call it. A couple key races are in the news. But and we, you know, just finished having a black person who was president of this, and everybody said that we have arrived. What are your thoughts on that? Are black people really free in America? Can we say that we have arrived? What's your opinion on that?
Well, thank you for posing that question, and it certainly is one in my mind that deserves a lot of thought and attention to be devoted to it. The question, are black people in America really free? That's one I think that we can all give a lot of thought to. And before I, you know, attempt to pose an answer to that, I would suggest that we'd want to take a look at what does freedom or being free really mean? Do we understand that concept and what it is? So perhaps the best way to start is to start with a definition. And what I would offer in terms of a definition is that if a person is free or experiencing freedom, that means that the individual has the power and or the right to act, speak, or think just as that individual wants to act, speak, or think without hindrances or what might be referred to as unnecessary restraints. So that's the definition that I would share. And for us, as people of Black African descent, I do think that key words are our power and right. One could argue, on the one hand, that as 14th Amendment citizens, that we do have the right to be free. And you could easily argue the other standpoint, since there's controversy over the 14th Amendment, which says that the other side of that argument says that the 14th Amendment really all it did was kind of carve out a holding space for us. They had to have a niche to fit us into, but that it didn't really give us full citizenship. And that this is the reason why our right to vote has to be renewed. I believe it's every 25 years. And the last time that renewal happened was in July of 2006 when Bush signed the 25-year extension of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. So, you know, there are a lot of questions to be answered here. Do we have the power to secure our freedom? I think that's what it really boils down to is are we empowered? Do we have power? Which to me means to be in control. If we have power, it means to be in control of being able to meet all of our needs and to meet those needs without fear of negative consequences, to be able to go about doing that without fear of negative consequences. I judge that two of our primary needs as people, as human beings, would be protection, protection from harm, and ensuring that future generations are not only protected, but that they are provided for in every possible way, but particularly financially provided for. So to me, all of that goes into answering that question. I would also share that I think that one of the major illusions that we operate under is that America is somehow bound or responsible for ensuring our freedom, and that the government will act favorably on our behalf to assist us in meeting basic needs around protection and life-sustaining elements. However, as I look back over time and review various time frames covering certain events in America's both current and past, it's easy to see that the government and particularly law enforcement are not about the business of assisting people of Black African descent to sustain freedom or basic needs for food, clothing, shelter, or protection. You know, I can't help but think about the Dred Scott decision of 1857, which still stands as law. And basically, the Dred Scott decision said that we as Black people have no rights that have to be protected or guaranteed. So with all that said, I support the position that we are not free until we have power, and that we won't be free until we take control and until we take responsibility for doing for self and providing everything that we need in terms of protection and financially caring for ourselves and future generations. So I'll stop at that point. I think that was a lot to state, and you know, just say that we'll move forward from there with this discussion tonight. But those are my thoughts.
Yes, thank you very much for those thoughts, and you did say a mouthful, and I'm awed by your realization that power and having rights, you know, is probably fundamental in terms of really feeling free. But let me push you a little bit further on that. As I said earlier, you know, we have elections coming up. The governorship being elected to the Senate or Congress itself, being elected to state legislatures, city council, you know, people look at those as symbols of power. And apparently, you know, if we looked at what happened, you know, prior to 1965, the Voting Rights Act, well, we know that we were discriminated against and prevented from exercising at that time application of the 14th Amendment. We see now, you know, as I said, we had a Black president. We got some governors coming up. Who are Black, and apparently, according to at least the news caption, they're doing pretty well in the polls. If we obtain these offices, wouldn't that be some manifestation or expression of our people having power, having elected these people to office? And mostly Black candidates are usually aided in their election bid by Black people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to comment on that, and I believe the gist of your question is whether or not the election of Black candidates into positions such as governor or into the Senate, House of Representatives, or whatever the position might be, if in fact that is a manifestation of power. On one level, I would say that it is. because for us to elect them or for them to be elected, they would have had to had garnered the support of the majority of those who were in the position to vote. But on the other hand, I would, and this is what I feel more strongly about, is that no, those are not necessarily positions of power unless those individuals can in fact move and act and do what they know is right and appropriate to do, or to act on the behalf and at the behest of the people who have elected them without any fear or concern of backlash or concerns about whether or not they're going to be reelected. And so from that perspective, no, I would not say that they are wielding power. And also, are they in a position whereby they can assist us in any way to better our circumstances? Are they of a race-first mentality whereby they would step forward and do that? So for me, that would all go into my assessment that those are not necessarily power positions.
Well, thank you very much for that. There's somebody is raising their hand to ask a question. In fact, it's been up for a little while now. Let's go to the lines and entertain that person. Welcome, brother or sister, to Dare to Win Us, Lifting Us. If you ending in the last four digits, 0862, if you have a question or comment, please feel free to share that.
Well, greetings. This is Brother DJ, and I certainly want to say.
Oh, greetings, brother.
Yes. Greetings, Baba Shabaka and Sister Nanana. And I tell you, listening to Sister Nanana speak so eloquently really has brought a smile to my face and my spirit. Her articulation of the lack of freedom that we experience is African people. I'm sitting here like, you know, I could listen to this for the remainder of the time. So while there are things that I could say, again, I'm enjoying it and being fed so much. I want to just sit back and listen and learn. So please continue. Thank you.
Thank you so much, brother, for that comment. And we definitely appreciate your support, as Sister Nanana says. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back to continue our discussion on this. Listening audience, if you wish to join us for this discussion, again, I repeat, you can dial in at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Press 1, and then just give us your question or comment. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Thank you. family, welcome back. This is your host, Brother Shabaka of Dare to Win. And with me tonight is Sister Nanana. And we're talking about how free are we in spite of having a black president and maybe we got black senators. Obviously, we have a lot of black congresspeople and maybe some governors. Are we really free? Sister Nanana, let me ask you this. I heard what you said earlier, and I think I'm very much in agreement with that. I can't see no argument in what you were saying. Even when I look around, I see candidates running for this. In fact, we only see them every 2 years or every 4 years, depending on what the situation is. What do you think needs to happen, all right, to really be free? What needs to happen for us to be free?
Well, thank you. That's a big piece to bite off and chew. What needs to happen for us to be free? But thank you for that question. And in tackling an answer for that question, I would once again have to go back to looking at what I proposed as the definition of freedom around power and rights. Those are two major components. So because of the world that we live in, we must operate from a power base. That's all there is to it. You must operate from a power base. And that power base, in the reality of the world that we live in, the power base is money, or what might be called financial stability. We must also operate from a position that we have a God-given right to be free, and that we don't have to wait for something or somebody to bestow that upon us, because God has decreed for all human beings that this should be so, and our ancestors have died for that. So when I think about what needs to happen, I think about us lifting up. Economic Development LLC, it offers us the plan and the opportunity to do both of these things. So just look at other communities, be they communities of Caucasian or communities of people of color. The ones that have solid economic bases, they are the ones that live pretty much unmolested by the so-called law enforcement. All of their needs are met, not only at a basic or minimal level, but beyond that. And their children are positioned in such a way that they can step into living a life where they inherit wealth, they have security and they feel secure, and overall prosperity, as well as stepping into a position whereby positive self-esteem is a foregone conclusion. So ULU, Us Lifting Us, offers our community the mechanism for achieving all of these for our people through a process of cooperative economics. We can have the power that we need to have to establish ourselves so that we can protect ourselves, and so that we and future generations can have exactly what we need. And I would say that the self-esteem piece, particularly for our young people, is absolutely paramount. So for me, us lifting us is a comprehensive answer. It puts value around the family and valuing what every individual brings, and that they have a right to be in the life space that they are in. So that's my answer. And thank you for asking that question.
Well, thank you, sister, for providing us with your insight on it. But you mentioned the wealth aspect and the economic forces and powers that would aid in one's being free. And apparently, my own studies show that we don't have that, particularly when we look at where we are in wealth comparison to other people, particularly the Caucasian, who has amassed a lot of wealth and have directed us to just employment situation, and therefore we cannot pass on income. We can pass on many other things, owning a factory, stocks, bonds, and all that other kind of stuff, but it's difficult to pass on income. Haven't said all that. I'd like you to go maybe a little bit further on the Hulu's plan and how you see that plan maybe directing us a little bit more powerful and movement towards freedom, as you mentioned earlier. Can it provide the kind of self-esteem that you talked about, and how do you see that coming about?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to say more about Us Lifting Us, and there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that ULU has the blueprint, has the plan that we need that will position us so that we have financial security. And by having that financial security, we will definitely be in that position of being able to protect ourselves, to provide for our families, and to experience true security and true freedom. Because the reality of the world that we live in is that all of that is connected to your financial security. So the ULU plan has three basic components. First of all, pooling of intellectual and monetary wealth through our membership, pulling that together. And we are very wealthy with both intellectual and financial wealth that is untapped in our communities. The next would be using those resources to build an economic infrastructure. And that economic infrastructure is one that is a cooperative versus a capitalistic infrastructure. And basically what that would mean for us is that we would be keeping those dollars circulating within our community. And right now we have Cafe ULU, which is an excellent example of a cooperative venture and how that works. And we have established Cafe ULU. It is being successful, and it is providing us with the stepping stones that we need to study and to understand the things that we need to continue to do going forward in the future. Now, when you have a venture such as Cafe ULU, the monies that come out of that business are then funneled back into the business in order to keep it open and operating. And all of the monies that went into opening Cafe Ulu came from our community. Ulu does not borrow money. We do not open a business venture and have debt associated with that business venture. All of the products that are used in Cafe Ulu are bought and sold via communities of people of Black African descent, and the employees are either members of Ulu or will soon be members of Ulu. So we have member owners as well. All of us who are currently members of Ulu and who have purchased a unit, we are owners of Cafe Ulu. So this is an excellent example of how a cooperative economic venture can be started and successfully ran. And I think a major thing for us to keep in mind is that Us Lifting Us, the roadmap that we are using, the blueprint that we are using, that it is, number one, it's global. So it can be incorporated all around the world, and that this is a model that we know works from all of the study and the research that we have done. And the second major thing is that it's designed in such a way that as we move forward in the future, we will be looking at establishing large-scale businesses in every area that you can think of, whether it's manufacturing, agriculture, energy, the hospitality business. We will have businesses in all of those areas. So with everything that I have said, the answer to gaining that financial security, which is the major stepping stone to securing our freedom and our ability to take care of ourselves and to protect ourselves, that has literally been handed to us via Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. And once again, thank you for leading into that question.
Well, sister, I am pleased and really stimulated by the answer that you've given. I mean, how do I sign up? I'm already signed up. But look, what you have laid out, as you said, we're not free. We have various laws, constitutional trinkets. Give us the illusion of freedom. We don't have power. We don't have the rights. And then you laid it really right on the line that the reason we don't have these things is because of the economic foundation that you see permeating throughout this country. We see, God, please forgive me for mentioning his name, Trump. Obviously, Trump is a wealthy person. He seems to be able to manipulate the system the way he wants. He's in politics, but his foundation rested with economics. So we can see a correlation, a relationship. But that brings up another point, because we know that some cities, particularly some of our southern cities, you know, there's been a migration. You know, we migrated to the north, you know, because of the oppressive conditions of the south. And now, you know, a lot of us are trickling back to the south, and some of these cities have done well, and some of them can be boosts of tens of thousands of black-owned businesses. Is that enough? The tens of thousands of black-owned businesses. I mean, can that help us? I mean, they're stressed. We never really had that kind of a, or did we? Have we had that kind of a expression before? What's your thoughts and thinking on that, sister, as you lay out Ulu's plan? But, you know, we've had some successful businesses now.
Well, thank you again for bringing up that point. It is important that we acknowledge that there are many, many, literally hundreds of thousands of single black entrepreneurs. And just that knowledge and information tells us that we have an energy that can be funneled in a way that can help the entire community. The thing about the single entrepreneur is that the success of that one single individual has not been directed and funneled in such a way that it can be beneficial to the entire collective. That's one thing. The other thing is that without the structure for generational wealth and the support for generational wealth, which is something that ULU provides, the structure and the support around that, the success of the single entrepreneur is very oftentimes not guaranteed and very oftentimes does not pass to more than one generation. And what we are looking at with ULU is that we are looking at putting a system in place whereby generational wealth will be passed on into infinitum, that it will become a foregone conclusion that in the communities of people of Black African descent, that our children will go to college to gain knowledge and information in certain areas, but that they will always bring that knowledge and information back to the community because they know that they have not just quote-unquote jobs waiting for them, but that they have a meaningful role in that community and that they can make a meaningful contribution to sustaining not only their individual family structure, but to sustaining the family structures of all of the other people within the community as well. So it's very different. And that does not mean by any means that Us Lifting Us has any negative perspective in terms of dealing with entrepreneurs. One of the aspects of the cooperative blueprint that we are working on is that Us Lifting Us does right now do business with entrepreneurs and will continue to do business with entrepreneurs and from a race first perspective. In other words, if we have a need for a service and a product for one of our cooperative business ventures, we will look within our community first for that. And that's very different. There are cooperative business ventures out there right now who do business with entrepreneurs, and they have a policy whereby it's very simple and cut and dried for them. Whoever has the cheapest price, that's who they do business with. And in ULU, we are looking at it from a different perspective, because part of our goal is to always incorporate our people into our business ventures. And so we will be looking at that from a race first perspective and seeing who within our community has the goods and the services that we need before we would ever go outside of our community. So I don't know. I've said a lot there. Hopefully I answered your question.
Sister, you said a lot, and you have answered my question. We do have a call, but unfortunately, we got to take a short break. So call us, stay on the line. As soon as we come back off the break, we will pick up your call. Stay tuned, family. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Brother Shabaka, can we open the line for the next question from our listening audience?
Yes, sister. I was brother or sister at 7004. You have a question. Could you talk to us, please?
Blessings, Lulu family. This is Yessi out of Atlanta. The queen was speaking in regard to security and financial security as well as educational security. And I was curious to the focus of geographic placement in that this goes in line with a question I had concerning the debt or overhead for the operations that Ulu has in investment. And that being said, the purchase of land that we develop into whatever we would like Ulu to look like in the mindset of a franchise, yet not a franchise. If you can kind of vibe with what I mean when I say I'm not talking about getting a corporate outwardly world business perspective involved. I am more saying Ulu is represent of creating the village. Now, presently the investors have a good solid business format and it's operational. Yet the need to bring in our people is to actually provide them with better than they can pay for outside of what we can organize collectively. And we have the opportunity to create that better with culture and with style. And that aspect of it is part of the focus of bringing Ulu's presentation or its, I can't say its character. It has a great character. Its identity, maybe. Its national identity or its business identity to another level, so to speak. I don't know if that was clear, but it had to do with purchasing of property to replace places that we may be leasing now and promote in the same fashion outwardly to our community to give them a centralized place in the same fashion it is happening now, just eliminating exterior costs through ownership and how that looks divided back into Ulu in return, into the membership and those who might invest to make that a reality. How is that playing into the present part of what Ulu is stepping towards?
Ownership or leasing, Sister Milanana, want to tackle that?
Well, I want to make sure that I understand the brother's question first. Is that what it boils down to, a question of ownership versus leasing?
No.
Okay.
No. That's an obvious answer. It's the methodology in transfer. And I'm going to give a for instance with Ulu Cafe, Cafe Ulu. Now, if there was an opportunity to purchase the amount of square footage it would take or more with some exterior land. How is the equation in the mindset of the council or the elders or ownership of Ulu to make that transition? Because I see a lot of things in terms of commercial outreach for Ulu, but I don't see it in the same commercial text of the world. I see it in a very grassroots, participatory format in different levels, because the people who put Ulu together made a certain mark of significance in the society before they were able to put Ulu together. So now the outreach is the people who are successful, yet it's also the people who have the entrepreneuring or creative spirit to bring the new products that Ulu represent in the world through the chain of communication it's setting out right now and already has. And that's what we need to draw our best into, so that as we build the media presence of Ulu in the things that are part of Ulu, which to me are the village. Anything you need in a village should be connected with Ulu and governed and beneficial. If we have a product, for instance, that sells, everyone in Ulu should have a return at some point by reason of that business. And how these things translate as we're asking people to join and as they're able to join at the different levels.
Well, thank you for that question. And I'm hoping that I'm understanding what you're putting forth, because it sounds to me like what you are suggesting is that Ulu might need to be looking at presenting itself with a different image moving forward.
No. Simply ownership of the locations for which we build the business. And
okay. This
is for security purpose as well as living purpose. Many people are renting things and spending money outside of the circle. Cafe Ulu with 12 apartments wrapped around it would be a benefiting business commodity for all of the membership if that were incorporated into the scope of let's look for this. And when it comes up, we know that's part of the scope that will fit into the 100 years from now Ulu project. Now, we can do it 2 years or 5 years at a time, but we want it to be here in 100 years. That's going to take property, and it's going to take maintenance of that property in a format of government.
And okay. And thank you for the clarity. And what I would share with you is that is not something that Ulu is closed to doing. As a matter of fact, ownership of actual land and property is all part of the plan moving forward. And each business venture is looked at individually by our business development group in a short-term and long-term perspective, but also how it fits in with our overall plan. And certainly ownership of not only land, but ownership of the actual facilities and properties that Ulu businesses are operating out of is part of what we want to do as we move forward. We are still pretty much in the fledgling stages at this point in time. So please know that is not an idea or perspective that Ulu will not entertain, that it is definitely on the drawing board to come forward in the future, because ownership of land is definitely, that is wealth, and that is a major part of securing generational wealth, not only land, property as well.
Excuse me, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely positive everyone knows that, absolutely positive. The the question, I guess, I would still pose is, and I not being a member, I guess this wouldn't be public knowledge, but it would be to me a recruiting draw to have a short-term opportunity available to those who can partake and eliminate exterior bills, because that's what it's boiling down to. We can't really look into the future to say, oh yeah, in a couple of years we're going to do this, if people are kind of in situations that are immediately squandering things and we don't address it, and people say, oh no, I ain't going that far, or oh, you know what, that might work. And it's important how far down the rabbit hole you want to go if you want to give everything you have right now for a nation. And that's saying a lot, yet we're not doing it haphazardly, because there's a workforce that's needed. Like you said, there's security that's needed. And it's needed now. It's not needed tomorrow. It was needed yesterday. So where is there urgency? Not being in a rush, yet we should already have these things. That's what I'm looking for in reference to the unity past business as usual. Business as usual will keep us right inside the loop we've been in, unless we go way, way past what ordinary business has asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You feel what I'm saying? Right, brother. Yes, brother, we really understand. I think where you're coming from, and as you begin to interact with Ulu members, so you can share your ideas. Don't mean to rush you, but we're almost out of time.
My apologies.
I really appreciate that question. No, that's okay. We really appreciate you. You give us a lot of thought, and we are examining a number of aspects to our model, how we implement it as we go to different places. So we really appreciate that. But in ending, let me tell everyone that we'll be here next week, same time, with a new topic. Join us, please. Join us at our website, usliftingus.com. And I gave you the wrong number. Let me give you the right number. If you have a question that you may have wanted to ask but didn't get a chance to ask because we're running out of time, 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. If you're in Atlanta, come to Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu is located at 2036 Sylvan Road. That's 2036 Sylvan Road, which is in the southwestern portion of the city. And or visit our website, cafeulu.com, order some coffee. And if you you into the internet and stuff like that, drop us an email, info@usliftingus.com. Sister, do you have any parting words before we end?
Thank you for the opportunity to say to the listening audience, I appreciate all of you being present with us tonight, and come back and be with us again next Thursday. We enjoy having you, having your energy. And for those who are not members of ULU as of yet, please go to the website, www.usliftingus.com. Review all of the information there. Take a really good look at the plan that's offered, and you can join right there on the website by clicking on the tab that says join. So thank you, and we look forward to being with you again next Thursday.
All right. Sister, take care. Family, take care, and be with us next week.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.